This is Chapel for February 8th, 1962. Bob Davis is speaking for the Student Coordinating Council.
In Christ, there is no east or west. In Him, no south or north. But one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. The theme for our Foreign Mission Conference this year is equal to the task. And I shall speak with reference to that topic this morning. May I begin by committing, I suppose, the cardinal seminary sin by deliberately lifting out of context and changing a statement into a question for our purposes. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, equal to the task. Is there anything less than a world of responsibility upon our shoulders? What kind of mental image does the phrase equal to the task suggest for you? Can you picture the old Egyptian and Palestinian scales of measurement? There's the perpendicular bar, and then the cross piece, and at each end of the cross piece are containers in which are placed the objects of measurement. In our case, on one end is the wooden structure of a church, at the other, a globe of the world. The structure of the church is symbolic of you and I. And the globe, our world of need. However, the words equal to the task suggest, for me at least, a strange centerpiece. Rather than the perpendicular bar, there is a strange curved form of a question mark. And now the phrase has new significance. Equal to the task. The symbolism of the church in the balance somehow now makes the question vitally personal. And if there is anything significant in our identification with Christianity, then I am persuaded to believe that ours is the responsibility, the privilege, the opportunity. Ours, if you please, is the task of making known in relevant fashion the God whom we have come to know in the person of Christ. To whom shall we go? Says one philosopher of religion, the darkest of all the visions that can appall the imagination is that of the wasted manhood of our world. What is our task? Pardon the simplicity, but our task is the world. The world and its wasted manhood. However, before you pass judgment on the simplicity of the answer, may I amplify in someone else's words something of what our world and our task may be? A man stands and he looks at his world in our contemporary situation, and here are his words. Today, I looked at the world, a world created by God, a creation of God yet turned away from Him. On a windswept hill in Japan, a man scrapes the earth as he bows to his God. On a sun-parched clearing in Nigeria, a mother weeps for her dying child. Yes, today I saw the world. I saw a world in need of Christ. I saw the teeming thousands as they rush to work, unconscious of a higher being. I saw a man as he walked from the door of a home, having been told, "We ain't got no religion and we don't want none." And I saw the sun's rays gleam on the bow of a yacht set sail on Sunday morning. People content to see the created, but never seeing the Creator. And then I saw the man at the countdown as he guided a missile into outer space, never knowing the God who brought the universe into being. And then I saw the man at the plow, bent by time without hope for tomorrow. Yes, I looked at my world today, but I saw more, for I saw a mother as she sat weeping, hoping that somehow this time her husband would return home sober. I saw a small, dirty little girl, grimy and unwashed, who knows the name of Jesus only as just another character in a Christmas story. I saw a young man locked behind bars with nothing but hate in his heart for everyone near him. I saw a Negro girl kicked because she was of a different color. I saw a battle in the park between teenage gangs. And I saw countless numbers of homes in need of the Christ we know. I saw the world today. I saw world leaders making plans for the suppression of other lands. I saw millions of people who have yet to meet our Savior. I saw those who say there is no God. But I saw more, for I saw Christian students, young people, Christian students who read their Bibles, who pray, who go to church, Christian students who have yet this day to share with someone else what they have come to know of God in Christ. But I saw more, for I saw in my own life no fruits of the Spirit today. But then, as I looked at my world, I was forced to look at my own special world. And I insert here my seminary family. Tragic as it seems, I even saw Tom, who used the name, copy an answer from his neighbor's paper. A girl forgets something of her moral standards because of those poking fun at her. I saw students so much in need of the love and the attitude of Christ. Somehow, I became impressed with the idea that with the help of God, I must give Christ to this world. I must pray for a deeper and more abiding concern. I must somehow know where God would have me to serve. I must seek with His help to change my world. He concludes by saying, "My friends, today the wounds of a world must be healed. The peoples of our world must come to know the Savior. The only answer is still immortal love in an expanding universe. Our task, could not part of our task at least be in helping a man to realize that beyond the idol to which he bows, even in sincerity, there is a living God profoundly interested in human personality? Could not at least a part of our task be to help the man who guides a missile into outer space, somehow to help him have personal encounter with a God who brought the universe into existence? Could not a part of our task be to somehow help our world to rise above its petty prejudices, which find expression in the maltreatment of a Negro girl? Could not a part of our task be to help somehow, some way, our world leaders to realize that there is something much greater in life than the satisfying of an exalted ego? And in our task, do we not have something in answer to the man who says there is no God? I recall a dramatic production during college entitled The Insect Comedy, in which there seemed to be one recurring theme throughout the play. And this recurring theme involved an insect in its pupa stage in a cocoon. Repeatedly throughout the play, the cry came from the cocoon, "I want to be born! I want to be born! I want to be born!" And the play climaxed, the beautiful insect bursting forth from its cocoon, having at last its long-sought freedom. Is not this the cry, the deep longing of human personality everywhere? I want to be born. I too want to be born. Call it freedom from oneself. Call it finding a deeper dimension in life. Call it salvation, if you please. They too want to be born. They want to know what we propose to have experienced of God in Christ. I believe it's the Japanese word for crisis, which has in it the twofold idea of danger on one hand and yet opportunity on the other. And this reminds me of one who said two summers ago, "I am scared to death of the 1960s. And yet I thrill to no end at the opportunities which shall be ours." For most of us, one third of our lifetime is expended. It's over, it's finished, it's gone forever. What has been accomplished under God in this one third? But infinitely more relevant is the question, in light of the fact that we cannot change the past, what will be accomplished under and with the help of God in the remaining two-thirds? With the personality, the mind, the ability, the potentiality which He has given. Mrs. McMurray said yesterday that in communism, the idea has always preceded the sword. I don't recall who made the statement, but for what it's worth, here it is. There is a power mightier than all the armies of men. And that power, an idea whose time has arrived. An idea whose time has come. Perhaps, as never before, the idea of God in Christ has come. Equal to the task, weighed and found wanting, may I close abruptly by saying that only you can turn that question mark of uncertainty into an exclamation point of victory, making the church equal to the task. Shall we pray? our Father, somehow impress us that we are what we are because of thy grace, that thou art the creator and sustainer, not only of human life, but all that is. Grant unto us a deeper vision of the needs of our world and the best places in which our personalities can find expression in a redemptive way. Father, help us to grasp more of the idea that ours is the task of loving those who are unlovely, of bestowing value on those who seem to have no value, of making known in relevant fashion the God we have come to know in Jesus Christ. May thy will be done. For we make our prayer in the name of the one who taught us to love and who has given us life.